This is episode 142 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by Motor City Comic Con and InkWhiskey.com. A Jiggy Jar Jar do. That Carl Papa bullshit, for people that are wondering what a Jiggy Jar Jar do is, go to badlibreading.com and just look up Carl Papa. And
best music video ever.
I don't know, dude. They've got some killer videos up there. Hands down, I think Russian Unicorn is still the best one they've ever had. I don't know that you can ever top that.
That's because that officially gets played on the jukebox down at our bar sometimes.
Yeah, I actually paid for that song on iTunes.
I'll never forget the first time. That was, I think, the first lip dub reading, whatever, that I'd ever seen or heard of. And you just thought it was the most hilarious thing ever. And I go, I don't get it, because I'm, like, thinking that Michael Bublé really put together the song.
Michael Bublé?
Yeah.
Not Bublé?
No.
Okay.
It's Bublé. and so I'm like, I don't get. And then you're like, no, this was not what this music video was actually about. Here's the real music. I go, holy shit, because that other one seems so well produced that it was, I thought it was actually made that way.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I haven't seen any. I know they do a bunch of Walking Dead, but have they done any of the like Avengers or X-Men or anything like that?
I always see the football ones during football season. There'll be some of those. And there's the huge Game of Thrones ones that was, I'm not sure about, they have to have some somewhere out there.
All right, well.
Maybe not as high quality, but.
We'll check it out.
We need to start doing that. Oh,
God. Yeah, because we have so much extra time. But anyway, my name's Derek.
My name is Tony.
And welcome back, guys, to Drunk on Comics, our weekly podcast, where we're going to talk about comic books and some industry news and a whole bunch of other fun shit along the way. So, might as well just get things kicked right off with Off the Shelf, which is brought to you by Motor City Comic Con. And that is happening May 15th, 16th, and 17th in beautiful Novi, Michigan at the Suburban Collection Showplace. Get your tickets now. I was chatting with our buddy Jay from An Elegant Weapon the other night about it, and he said that he actually has a concern about this year.
What's his concern?
That with as many guests as they have, how are you going to get attendees in the door? But, dude, their guest list is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got 40-plus media guests. I can't count how many comic guests at this point. And us.
Yeah, I was going to say, most importantly, though, they have us.
Yeah, so they've got us.
The only reason you need to come.
No, not the only reason, the primary reason, though. You know, because, I mean, there are people there besides us that I'm excited to see.
Like who?
The one, Ted McKeever. Mm-hmm. I kind of told you about that. I'm really excited to meet him. And it's just because his line art is so fantastic. You don't see that kind of artwork done anymore. Matt Wagner, Joe Prado, Neil Adams. There's a couple others that are right on the tip of my tongue right now, and I'm drawing a blank because I'm enjoying my hard cider a little too much already today. But it's black cherry hard cider, so.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me one, Dick.
Yeah, well, I only had two hands, so.
So you can only carry five bottles in there.
I can only carry two cases. You don't get any. but anyway, so, yeah. Lots of great people at Motor City. Guys, go to MotorCityComicCon.com. Check it out. Get your tickets in advance. It'll save you a lot of time. And, yeah. Oh, Walking Dead people. There's six or seven people from The Walking Dead there, including Tyrese, Beth. Let's see. Who else is going to be there? Shoot. Why can't I think of...
I can't think of his name
Scott
either.
Scott Wilson's character's name. Herschel.
Yeah.
You've got Steven Yeun, Glenn going to be there. You've got... Alana Masterson.
See Glenn while he's alive. Spoiler alert.
Okay, how caught up are you in the comics?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, like, all of what happened in All Out War and all that with Negan?
Yeah.
Okay. That, and I'm not giving anything away on this, but that whole question of when you see, I don't know how caught up you are on the show, but when you see Glenn pick up a baseball bat, is that foreshadowing or is that just fan service for a little nod? Nobody knows.
Yeah.
So it'll be kind of interesting. I'm curious to talk to Emily Kinney. You know, she's a recording artist as well.
Oh.
Yeah. So hopefully get a chance to meet her. But anyway, on with the show. Tony, you want me to kick things off here this
week? Yeah, what are you going to review?
Descender. Did you get a chance to read this book?
No, I didn't, but it looked interesting.
You really should have read this one.
Well, tell me, enlighten me, what is it about?
All right, so this is Descender number one from Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen. And this is one of the rare situations where Lemire's not doing art as well on here. And so Dustin Nguyen is doing the art on here. Letters and designs are by Steve Wands on here, just so you guys know. And I think I said this from Image, if I didn't. But Nguyen, and I'm going to start out with the artwork on this one. Nguyen has, he basically does a painted style of his artwork in here. And Tony, I'll just let you take a peek there. This story is a futuristic story. There are like, you know, nine major planets, which more or less act like countries. They all kind of work in this universal galactic council, whatnot. And obviously in the future, there's a lot more technology, blah, blah, blah. Well, these giant robots that are reminiscent in a way of Galactus, as far as the size of the robots, because the way that they're drawn, at least, it seems that they're larger than the planets. And these robots come and basically, spoilers, are wiping out about 80% of the population.
Why? Do they explain what they're doing?
No. That's the one story. The other story, then, there's an old mining colony going on, and this little boy wakes up, and he's looking for his mother and for, I'm assuming, like his brother. And he's talking to the computer, and he's like, computer, you know, where are they? And computer says they aren't here. And for whatever reason, it's funny because the way that it's written, I imagine a woman's voice from the computer, and I don't know why that is. But it just, it's something stupid that I don't know why I'm even talking about it, but it was one of those things where when you read these, you really kind of pull yourself into the story. This little boy's name is Tim, and Tim's walking around, and then all of a sudden you see there's just bodies everywhere, and the bodies are long dead. And he asks the computer, how long have I been sleeping? And the computer says roughly 10 years. So I'm sitting here, like, I mean, I'm reading this book and I'm very confused because I'm like, how can a little boy be asleep for 10 years? Because, like, you know, even when you see these movies where people are in cryo sleep or whatever, they're still aging. As it turns out, Tim is an android. He's a robot. And so,
So why does he have to sleep?
Recharge his batteries, maybe?
Okay, I guess.
I don't know. But this is, and I'm going to, I have to spoil a lot of this in order to explain what's going on in this story. Because what you're finding out is that these robots, these giant robots, which they refer to as harvesters, there's an investigation going on. And one of the guys that you meet at the very beginning is a guy who designs robots. And you find out that these Tim models, which pretty much were all destroyed, but there happens to be one left, all robots, you can, like, even these that they have a hard time reading and whatnot, you can track, like, all the information back and kind of figure out who their makers are, what they're based off of. Even these where they don't know. They find out that these harvesters originally came out of a Tim model.
Oh.
Somehow or another. Whether the Tim model created them or what, but that's what they're based on. And so that's kind of the basis of what's going on here in this story. But it's very, very cool because what Lemire and Nguyen are doing here, and they're transporting you back and forth, different stories, and actually slightly different times too, because they're showing a great lapse of time in this book. But I think probably the coolest thing is this little Tim model. You're rooting for him, like he seems like this sweet, innocent little thing. But they're showing little glimpses that he might be truly a deadly force to be reckoned with as well. And you know, it brings into question. I mean, like, it's funny because they do a really nice job of showing the human condition here too, where after that, the Harvester attack, humans get so pissed, they basically just go out and they just start killing every fucking robot on the planet. Whether it's one that's just, you know, it's simply a dishwasher robot, or it's like, you know, a personal assistant robot, they're eliminating. You know, it's a roboticide, if you will. I don't know. But
so did the giant robots, they've only came once and destroyed humanity?
Yep.
How long after that event is this book taking place?
Well, it's... Let me look here and see, because...
Because like, is it there a threat now of, like, the robots coming back is what they're thinking, or...
Well, and they don't know. Gotcha. That's part of it. Let me see. I think it said how long time went in here. It doesn't really say what the time elapse was between those, but it does show, you know, like in the beginning, one of the first things that it says is the current population is 5.53 billion on this planet. After this, current population is 1 billion. So a little bit more than 80% devastated. But yeah, I mean, so it really deals with a lot of that. And I think it's just interesting, but this painted style by Nguyen, I really wanted to point out, because Tony, I don't know if you kind of notice as you're going through, it's a very limited color palette too. You know, there's a lot of watercolor wash, you know, going on with it, but you'll see occasionally you'll have blues, reds, and yellows in there, you know, mixed with some blacks and whatnot. But a lot of times you'll see just, you know, there's just blue and maybe a little highlight of yellow, a little highlight of red. Or in some cases, there's very stark, almost, you know, like just the white backgrounds in there. I thought the use of negative space in here overall was just fantastic. And I think getting into this whole futuristic society where there are robots, and it's interesting to see that even as technology changes, human beings are still human beings. And I think we can look at our own history and realize that all the technological advances we've had, and we're still monsters and, you know, kill our own kind. And you know, the fact that they're, I don't know, maybe I'm a little jaded. I don't see a potential utopia unless I get to pick who's going to be there. even then. So, I don't know, it's kind of cool. In here, there's some really fun stuff just in the back of the book as well. They kind of give you a little atlas to the core planets on here, kind of tells you who lives on them, what kind of things go on there. There's some awesome concept art in here from Nguyen as well. And so, really awesome book. And we talked about this a while back, that this has been picked up, I believe it was for a TV series.
Yeah.
You know, before this book ever even came out. So,
I feel like I remember hearing about the book months ago, like, before, yeah, the book was out. That, I mean, that could have been also the TV show, but it's like, this has been kind of on the radar of, like, it's coming out maybe soon in my lifetime. Like, because hearing news about a book, I feel like so far in advance, this was one of those ones that was, like, really far out there.
It's only been a couple months that I remember. You know, like, I don't remember hearing about it.
I feel like it's been, like, 6 months.
Yeah, could be. We might have to go back and, you know, check our own archives, but... Yeah,
if we ever did that, really, when we say we do.
Yeah, I said we might have to, as in, I'm not going to, but you feel free. So, anyway, guys, go check out Descender. That book is just really, really fucking phenomenal. And I'm glad to see Dustin Nguyen on a book like this too. I think it really just kind of helped bring it to life in a way where I don't know what other artist could have given it that same feeling. So I was impressed as shit. But anyway.
All right. I have to discuss something that is going to be monumental on scale. It's going to be the biggest event ever. Obviously, there's not a single person that reads comics that doesn't understand what this... I guess not say understands what it is, because I still don't understand what it is. But this whole Secret Wars thing coming up. And all this is coming from Jonathan Hickman's mind and his run that he's had on Avengers and New Avengers. So this week I'm going to review Avengers number 42, as well as dabble a little bit in New Avengers from last week. Obviously, it's written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Stefano Caselli, color artist Frank Martin. And all in all, I'm really going to talk about the story. I mean, the art's good. Art is pretty much what you'd find from Marvel. So nothing that really pops out different than what you're normally seeing in one of these books. So, but all what I want to say is a story which has been just epically written and told throughout these books is really coming up to, well, we got another week or so. I remember when a year ago we had reviewed about Avengers were going to take an 8-month jump into the future and what the hell that meant, and really thinking this is stupid, some weird writing style, you know, they'll always do the then, now, 4 days ago type shit to tell their stories, which is okay.
3 minutes from now.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like
three minutes from now, but 180 seconds before then. Wait, that's now. Oh, fuck.
The way that they've done this and how it's been coming out with these two books has really made it one of those things of like, you can understand it, but you're also like, wait, what the how the hell did that happen? While the rest of the books are catching up. And I didn't think it'd be possible, but I guess if you're able to plan ahead this far for an event that the whole publisher is behind, you can actually have that timeline up there. Say, okay, here's where these books are going to start. You guys need to catch up to where we're at now within this timeline. And there's still things that are going on that you don't know how happened, such as, was it Sunfire, I think his name is, running AIM now. The biggest part from New Avengers is what you find out about the...
Are those Sentinels?
Yes.
Oh.
Something that I wish you were reading X-Men so that I could kind of know. I guess Cyclops has Sentinels at his beck and call. They now work for him, yeah. They are guarding his school up there. That was an interesting part. This one has a couple different, I mean, small stories of how some of these people are knowing the end is near. These worlds are going to collide. There's, I believe, only 12 planets left, and they're all ramming into each other still. Everyone knows that the two last universes that are going to be destroyed, or whichever one's going to come out top, is going to be Ultimates and the 616 universe. No one can deny that those are going to be the last universe. But what's happened with all these other ones? Those all go into Battle World. And I'm more or less talking more of the concept of what this is going to turn into compared to what this book was about. Because this book, as we all know, there is an end game to this. These people are talking about what they may be doing to prevent this. Scott Summers is talking to a couple of guys about having to do what needs to be done. And they're saying, you know, you're going to go out there and, you know, try to help, you know, help humanity. And he's pretty much like, fuck humanity, you know, it's about us. And still being kind of dickhead Scott. Something I read online is that he has a phoenix egg. What is a phoenix egg? I'm not sure, but from what the internet's been saying, it's something that can resurrect a universe. It can make its own universe. Scott Summers has this. Where this has come up, if it's come up in the X-Men books or not, not sure. You also have Black Panther and Reed Richards, who also created a platform slash city slash, you know, spaceship that's going to be like an arc.
Yeah.
The world's going to end, the universe is going to end, but this thing can live in between dimensions. I mean, Reed Richards has gone through multiple places. And then it's who's going to be on this, you know? They're arguing, you know, probably not just the smartest people, but probably geneticists or so for inbreeding and everything. So they now have...
For inbreeding?
Yeah. So they now have what they're working on, because they just know that there's no more stopping these incursions. We just need to come up with a secondary plan. And it's very interesting seeing some of these people, how they're coping with what they're going to be doing. Then we get to the Shi'ar. And if you know that Gladiator has been the Imperium magistrate for quite some years now, Lilandra, back in the old 90s, used to be the head of the Shi'ar. He's pretty much getting all of his smashers, all of his Imperial Guard home, because they just saved Earth in that last giant crossover that Marvel did 2 years ago. What was it called?
Which one?
The one with Thanos coming and everything and the Builders.
Oh, shit, I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't fucking remember that one either. Damn it. We need to...
Yeah, the problem...
The problem is with there's so many different events. Here's the thing with this, though. He just saved the Earth. He knows this. He knows he's kind of being a hypocrite right now, but he also is being smart. He's to his people. And he says, if we can destroy this Earth, our universe will live. So what are they going to do? They're going to destroy Earth. This is their backup plan. And then you have the one that I'm most happy about. You see Bruce Banner and everyone, and they're out on the moon. Him, Hank Pym, Beast, looks like Amadeus Cho, like some of the smartest minds out there who are looking to get something that will be able to help them. And that's where they find the Living Tribunal dead on the moon. Now, this is where all this stuff kind of coincides with everything that's going on. The Living Tribunal, the highest-powered being in the multiverse, is now dead because of the Beyonders. The Beyonders, who are, what you're finding out, the bad guys of this whole thing, who are in charge of Battleworld, who have, in the past Secret Wars, the Beyonder was the person that created this. What you're finding out is that was just a childlike Beyonder. Like, these Beyonders are from the space in between universes. And he was just a kid. When you have these adult versions, these ones that have lived for multiple million years, deciding that they want to end the universes as they know it, they're able to end the universes as they know it. They've killed the highest god that there is, and they're going on down the pecking order. And now, this is where me and my brother were talking about, what can Marvel ever do to beat this epic of a level? You killed the god of gods, pretty much. The only person left is the one above all, which is Master God, whatever you call him.
Well, you have a team up. Because if you have some characters come together that at first they think they have to fight each other, and then they realize, hey, let's be buddies. And then when that happens...
Friendship is power.
Yeah. When that happens, then they have all this power. And they can go and do that. And then, like, because, yeah, like, it's kind of like a team up power on that Marvel game that we're playing, where it's like, hey, if I smash some of these little things and you smash some of these little things, our powers combined will create Captain Planet. Wait, no, that's that's wrong.
There's so much going on that I know that we've talked about events being overplayed, but this is one of those that I don't think even people who don't read Marvel have at least not even not heard, they've heard of it. And some people are more curious about it. I know my wallet's going to be fucking broken from the amount of money I'm going to be spending on titles that are coming out of this thing. And they all look pretty damn good. And I've not been this excited / this actual dreading of, like, are they really, really, really going to do something, like, keep it this way? I don't really think they're going to go back to the status quo that it's been. And that's, for me, one of the coolest things that I'm here to witness in comics. But also, like, no, I don't want you to do that because I like some of the runs that are going right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's my hot take on that.
Cool. All right, guys. That's Off the Shelf. MotorCityComicCon.com. Go check them out. Tony, you were talking a little bit about you're going to be broke.
Yeah.
If you lived in Canada, you might also be broke if you're collecting the new $5 bills.
There's new ones?
Well, kind of new. it's actually again talking to our Canadian counterpart Jay up there at An Elegant Weapon. I don't remember who he said is actually on the $5 Canadian bill because here it is. Prime Minister Sir Wilfrid Laurier and
Wilfrid Brimley.
Diabetes. Well, apparently this prime minister has a little bit of a resemblance to Leonard Nimoy, who, as you know, pretty much everybody knows, recently passed away here a little over a week ago. And people are taking liberties, drawing new hair and eyebrows and kind of fixing his ears and making this prime minister look like Spock. And so the greatest thing is that it's created a term. It's Spocking your $5 bill. So I think it's pretty cool. Like there's actually a thing on abcnews.com that says why you might want to think twice before Spocking your money. I didn't read it because I don't care. I think it's cool that people are Spocking their money. So I'm not gonna read that at all. But if you go look, there's some really good ones. One of my favorites is the guy that put the Wrath of Khan type uniform on him, and he's got and even drew the hand doing the Vulcan live long and prosper mm-hmm. thing. Did you see this one, Tony?
Yeah,
yeah, they are pretty awesome. So anyway, if you guys happen to Spock any of your bills, send us pictures, and we'll post them anonymously if you want, or if you just want the credit, we're cool with that too, because that's fun.
But so Spawn just had his 250th wedding anniversary, whatever.
250th wedding anniversary.
I meant to say comic anniversary. I don't know why. Whenever I hear the term anniversary, I'm just assuming wedding anniversary. I don't know why. That's the thing that people celebrate. I'll shut up. However, he also may be coming into... Yeah, oh, that's where the similarities are. Mortal Kombat wedding, yeah. It's kind of go hand in hand.
It's a fight to a death? It's a fight to the death?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To death do them part. But he may be in the new Mortal Kombat X game, which is kind of cool. He was in Soul Calibur before. And pretty much the people over at Mortal Kombat have the rights to him. Like, they can do whatever they want till, like, I don't know, maybe 2020 or whatever. Like, they have exclusive rights to just use him whenever. And Todd McFarlane was saying that, they may give me a call. I don't know for sure if he's going to be in the game or not. But that'd be kind of cool to play a Spawn. I mean...
Dude, that would be awesome to play a Spawn. Like, I think I would actually go buy a... I can't remember the last video game I bought. Shit, it might have been like Modern Warfare, like Black Ops was probably the last game I bought, and that's like, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, that's quite a few years ago.
Yeah, so I might actually do that. If I could play a Spawn, that'd be kick ass. This is unfortunately not good news that we have to report, but... artist and inker Norman Lee, who has done a bunch of work for Marvel and a number of other comic books out there, was in the Cayman Islands with his wife when they were out snorkeling, and he disappeared, got separated from his wife. And unfortunately, we did hear earlier today that the police have called off the search for him, citing, the exposure to the elements and the strong currents at this point, that their expectation of being able to have any kind of recovery is slim to none. So our thoughts and prayers go out to him. I know that Pop Man, who we talked to back in at Grand Con, had posted something out there that he's hoping that that Norman is Tom Hanks in it out there someplace. And so... We're going to hope and pray for the same thing. So, anyway, hopefully we'll have good news to report on that next week.
Mm-hmm.
But enough on the negative stuff, if at all possible, but that was too important not to share. So on a positive note, Groot is getting his own comic book, which, Tony, I'm a little confused on how Groot's going to have a comic book. Is every issue going to be a silent book?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, how that's going to work, because, well,
they did that one Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, and that was a really issue 4 or whatever. Yeah, it was. And that was a really, but that was an issue, and I could get by with it being a standalone issue. It was funny for how they made it and whatever. You can't do that every single issue for an entire series. So I am very curious what they're going to do with that character, because you can't have the main character not be verbal. And the one part that Groot has always had with him is he's always had Rocket to translate for him, or at least give the reader enough to know what he was saying to get a sense of who he is. I will probably pick it up because I'm curious how they're going to do it. But to be able to maintain a series, it'll be interesting. If they go all Babblefish / translator type device, then I feel that's just kind of cheating and taking away who the character is, which is I Am Groot.
Well, I've seen 2 pages from the book, and it does have Rocket in there.
Okay, so all right, so then maybe it'll be more following his where he wants to go instead of Rocket's book of protagonist against Rocket.
But. Yeah, and I guess like from what I did see, it has how did Rocket and Groot meet up and how did they become a team and all that. So yeah, we'll have to see what's really gonna happen with it. But I guess it's gonna be written by Jeff Loveness, who if I understand correctly worked on Jimmy Kimmel. And it's drawn by somebody new into Marvel, Brian Kessinger. And so he's done a lot of, like, I guess, Disney animations from what I understand. So, but yeah, I guess check that one out. And that's coming out, did I see, in July? Is that right? Okay. Yeah.
See, that's the thing,
right,
too.
No, wait. Go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, I mean, it's a bulk of what our news will probably be about some of the new books, but when they're announcing some of these standalone books and they're not in this battle world type, headlines of Warzone and all that, it just seems strange that they're announcing books right now.
Yeah, but this one here being a how did Rocket and Groot come together, if it's in the past, you can release this shit. Because it's not in the current timeline. It might still be in continuity, but it's not in the current timeline. So yeah.
Why did Harrison Ford crash his plane?
I don't know.
Because he was flying solo and said, no Hans!
Oh. Yeah, I preferred my joke on An Elegant Weapon the other night when it literally had just come out like a half hour before we were recording. And I asked Jay if it was inappropriate for me to say, get off my plane! Although I do, the thing is if he would have had Chewie there, the engine wouldn't have been a problem. I mean, because Chewie always fixed shit on the go. But yeah, anyway,
then that would have been a Wookiee mistake.
Oh God! Wow. You know why those hipster kids love Harrison Ford?
No,
he's indie. But. All right, Harrison Ford crashes Millennium Falcon on a golf course. Actually, it's just a little 2-seater plane from, what was it, from like 1940s? Was that the type of? Yeah, it was a vintage plane. So he crashed. Apparently, he's doing pretty well. Speaking of Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew had a great tweet out there that says, from critical to severe to moderate to fair, the span of an hour, is Harrison Ford Han Solo or is he Wolverine? And I liked his hashtag, never tell me the odds.
One of the things after hearing about this, and my first thought is like, oh my God, not another celebrity, like we just lost Spock. Now we're going to lose, someone in the, galaxy far, far away. Hearing that he wasn't serious or critical, now in serious, but that he, it seems that he is alive and still going to be good. Started, people were talking about, though, like, why are, that he was lucky he landed on a golf course full of, you know, and there's doctors playing.
Well,
and
if you're on a golf course, there's going to be doctors playing.
That's what, no, I heard that that's one of, I forget what the other one was that I was reading. If you're in a plane and you have to crash land, a golf course is A, one of the most flat areas that you can find for the greenways, but then also that there's almost always a doctor on hand. So just a little nerd knowledge for you there if you're ever flying a
good to know plane. When I have to fly home after recording today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. There's there was something that comicbook.com put up, which was awesome. It was it's a guide to comic book acronyms, and excuse me, it's got everything in here from Marvel, from DC, Valiant. The only thing, like, I didn't see anything from Image or Dark Horse because there's no BPRD.
Yeah, I felt there, or RIPD, like, I feel there's more that are out there. Because there's even some more in Marvel that I know. But, or they could even go James Bond, you know, Spectre.
Well, yeah, but this was strictly comic book.
True.
But, you know, I mean, because the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Development, that wasn't listed in there. You know, I mean, it's like, there are just so many more that, that could have been in there. But my favorite one out of all of them was, shit, was it? Was it?
It was Rebels.
Yeah, but who had Rebels? Is that?
That was DC.
It was DC?
Yep. It's,
oh, there it is. Rebels is, from reading this, a spacefaring team of aliens headlined by Lobo and Adam Strange, and it stands for Revolutionary Elite Brigade to Eradicate Legion Supremacy. Legion is Licensed Extragovernmental Interstellar Operatives Network. So the acronym has a fucking acronym in it.
That's meta right there.
Yeah, I want to come up with more acronyms with acronyms now, just to do it. But yeah, check it out though. It's actually really cool if you're interested in this. I kind of forgot about MODOK being an acronym.
Yep.
So the mental mechanized organism designed only for killing. I'm like, fuck yeah.
That's all that he is used for. And to be honest, that, like, do you have any, I really want to get into the books that they've announced. You got anything else that you?
Yeah, there's one more in particular. I do want to, actually two, just real quickly. If you guys go to edx.org, you can check out, there's a thing on there about the rise of superheroes and their impact on pop culture. And it's a course that's going to, it's going to have like original artwork in it, but there's also going to, Stan Lee and Michael Uslan are going to be doing it. And it's from the Smithsonian. And it's a 5-week class. The classes start on May 5th. And they're asking that it's probably about a 1 to 2 hour a week commitment. And I don't know. I don't see anything about there being a cost to this. So go check it out. Look that up. And if you guys are interested, if I can find a way to squeeze some time in, I think I'm going to do this one. Just because I'm kind of curious to see what will be there. And, you know, I've always enjoyed Stan Lee's take on superheroes and how they relate to pop culture. You know, it's, I think, one of the biggest things that I've enjoyed about him is just kind of his insight. The one other last thing before we get into, Tony, what you wanted to talk about was there's a book that was being disputed in a high school library in New Mexico, and for whatever reason, there we go. I almost lost it here, but it was the comic collection of Palomar from Gilbert Hernandez. It was removed from a high school in Rio Rancho, and it was because the mother of a student thought that it was called it child porn. And the CBLDF, Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, is actually fighting against this right now, saying that the school didn't go through the proper processes to remove the book. From the sounds of it, and I'm not familiar with this book, so I cannot speak on it directly, but from the sounds of it, it seems that people are jumping to conclusions and that people are calling it, especially like the, from what it sounds like, the local news people out there aren't even bothering to read it or look at it, but they're just making these claims like, we'd show you pictures, but we can't show this on TV. And apparently there's really nothing they can't show on TV.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay. But anyway, I wanted to bring it up because whenever you guys can help out the CBLDF, it only goes to help you out, because it's because of them that we continue to get some of the groundbreaking books.
Yeah, and comics should not be censored.
Well, now I understand in a high school, don't get me wrong, if something is of adult nature, it shouldn't be in there. From what I'm understanding, this book isn't that type of a book. But again, I have not read it. So, you know, and this is the, this is one of those Love and Rockets books. So, I mean, if you're familiar with that, I don't ever remember seeing anything from In Love and Rockets that was pornographic. So, anyway, you guys can keep an eye out on that. But, yeah, if you guys are ever interested, go over to cbldf.org and, you know, you can donate over there. And, you know, I know a lot of our friends that are in the industry, they've done a lot to help them out. And it's a fantastic organization. So, enough of that.
All right. If you are reading anything from Marvel right now,
Be prepared to read different stuff.
Yeah, because in about 2 months when Secret War starts, your titles and your books and everything that you've been reading right now is ceasing to exist. From that, though, there will be titles that will have some of your favorite characters in different scenarios and different worlds. How that all comes together, you're just going to have to read Secret Wars to find out what the fuck's going on.
I have one idea of a revelation that's going to happen.
What?
Jean Grey's coming back.
That possibly could happen. I mean, Cyclops has a phoenix egg. Maybe that's going to be Resurrection of Jean.
Because that he would, too.
Yep.
All right.
But the way Secret Wars is going to come down is there's going to be three different brands that stories are going to come under to kind of give you where they take place in this continuity of this giant overall. There's going to be 8 main battle Secret War books that you don't need to read any of the other ones to get the full scope of what's going on. However, with as intrinsic as this thing, whole event is, and this is where I'm saying, Derek, this is actually the entirety of Marvel. So it's not one of those just you read one book and it's X-Men versus Avengers and then shit over here is not really going on. This actually is going to deal with everything, but it's Last Days, Battle World, and War Zones. Last Days is going to be about how what we know now, continuity-wise, these people spent their last days before the world blows up and Battle World happens. Battle World has the overall story of this entire Earth-type like atmosphere, and then War Zones is going to be particular stories about the certain islands, nations, continents within Battle World. From there, there's different storylines that some of these just look damn near awesome.
Okay. Here's something, I guess, for me. As a collector, when you're putting out this many different books, I hate to do this, but I can't help it sometimes because I am a collector. I do look at intrinsic value of what I'm spending my money on. And even though I can count on 2 hands the number of times I've sold comic books, I like the idea that I have a lot of money tied up in my comic books, and I don't like to see my money where I buy it and within 3 weeks it's going to be a quarter bin book.
Well, do you only read to collect? Or do you read to read the story and say, holy shit, I understand
what's going on? It's both. But
because there's no reason why you should ever be buying DC or Marvel then if you're looking to be a collector.
Oh, no.
There's no value in those books whatsoever.
Occasionally you get one. And here's, this is an example of a series where it could, you could have had some potential collectibles in here. But when you're flooding the market with this many books, yeah. And I guess that's just a, that, that's just a secondary gripe of mine. But anyway, let's continue on, because I, we, there's a, so many damn books in here to talk about.
Yeah, and one of them, as you were talking about MODOK earlier, he actually gets his own little nation world that is a MODOK realm, and I can't remember what the fuck the title of his new book is going to be, but the people at Marvel, when they're deciding how this battle world's going to be and who gets different sections of it, they just came about MODOK. He's never really actually been that awesome at killing people. I mean, he's fucking designed to be whatever his acronym is that I forget. Mechanoid.
Mechanized.
Or something.
Mechanized. Mind only designed or
yeah, whatever. Yeah. For killing. So they actually just made, they said, hey, you know what? That'd be something fun to explore. Let's make a nation where he actually killed all of his enemies and now he's supreme ruler. That looks like interesting. Because I've liked MODOK for a bit of who he is, but that makes it even better. There's one with Old Man Logan, which was a fucking hella good run within the Wolverine series that had him being old. I know a big part of it was there were some redneck Hulks that were inbred, and they were there. There was Red Skull, who was wearing Captain America's, you know, clothes and everything. Like, it was a, one of those dystopian futures. That's coming back. And pretty much the gist of most of these nations are, these are all huge story arcs within the Marvel world coming together on the same planet.
Well, the in the Ultimates, you have Ultimate End, you know, which is coming out there. I liked the Thor's
But book. But the one thing is with that is, what does that take? Is that a Last Days book or is that a War Zones book? Because if it's a Last Days book, then that's going to be probably the last days of their
world. It's a Battle World book.
Oh, is it? So then that could be... That's one of the weird things. When you look at the Battle World map, which I think I'm going to throw up in on the website in this podcast episode here, you can see this map of where some of these nations exist. And Manhattan is interesting because it's split down in two, and there's a 616 world Manhattan and an ultimate world Manhattan, pretty much meaning the main superheroes from those worlds are going to be there. There's a Spider-Island Manhattan, which is going to take some of the people from the Spider-Verse giant event that they just had and throw them in there. Like, the possibilities are endless on how some of the shit's going down.
Okay, now here's one that I had a question. Deadpool is finally getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
How far away till he's dead?
Well, he can't stay dead, silly. He's going to have a movie coming out in a couple years.
Because they have Deadpool's Secret Wars.
Yes, and that book's going to be as if he was in the original Secret Wars. And you just got to believe that he was. So you see him behind the scenes pretty much provoking the original Secret Wars.
I did like the... I did like the one variant cover they have, which is a Secret Wars action figure version of him.
Oh, there's a couple. I saw online, I forget where, when these books start coming out, there's a bunch of, kind of like how the Star Wars is having right now with the blister pack looking things. They're going to have a lot of toy blister pack variant looking books, which are interesting enough.
Yeah, it's... By the way, as I'm cruising through this, it was MODOK Assassin is the name of the book that's coming out.
Battleworld Thors also seems like a very interesting... that I know I'm going to pick up, because it's going to have every incarnation of Thor. Regular Thor, Chick Thor, what's his name? The one that has the horse face.
Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah. Throg.
Yeah.
The frog one. And these guys are going to be... when it comes to the scope of this battle world, they're like the world police.
Yeah.
So that they have all these ones from different universes and how they're keeping this battle world together. There's just so much that I can't wrap my head around of what I know of Marvel and what they're doing with it. I don't know.
The only one that I saw that really, really surprised me in a fantastic way is the Inferno series. because the Inferno series back from, you know, the mid-80s, I'm going to say probably around 85-ish. No, had to have been later than that. 89, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that you had Madeline Pryor in it, and it was, I enjoyed that one because it was basically Manhattan was being turned into hell on Earth, and it was fun because I was reading X-Men, so it was X-Men, there was X-Factor, and Daredevil. I know that Daredevil had to cross over in that because it's in Manhattan, it has to cross over to him, which I always thought that was one of the coolest things. Even though like he didn't have any part in their story, he had to deal with the effects of this hell on Earth thing. And that was right after Typhoid Mary had kicked the shit out of him and had all of his enemies coming, and he was basically going crazy at the same time because he was, you know, just out of it. That was a fantastic, fantastic book. And I always liked Madeline Pryor's outfit where, it, you know, she's pretty much naked.
Yeah.
You know, because I was, oh, let's see, I would have been like very early teens at that time in my life. Yeah, those were nice drawings. But I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm looking forward to the Planet Hulk one. I've read Planet Hulk. That was a very good one. But what makes this even more interesting is that it's a world that is full of Hulks, and that even the teaser features a Hulk Hogan-inspired Hulk. That just makes me...
Oh, God, I didn't even notice that.
...interested for that. Like, that'd be totally cool having the wrestler Hulk Hogan actually be like, I'm Hulk Hulkamania, Hulk Hogan smash. But the one that I find a little out there as far as what I'm used to reading, but I find it awesome that Marvel's doing this, is Where Monsters Dwell.
Yeah, that's the Garth Ennis book, isn't it?
Yeah, which goes back to early 1920s and 30s when comic books weren't about superheroes. They were about random things, and one of which was always revolving around the monster, island monsters, or... Yeah, Monster Island, that's what I meant to say. And having, like, King Kong and Godzilla and those type of things where people would stumble upon this island or creatures. So having a book with an old, you know, World War One slash pre, you know, that on an island of monsters isn't my cup of tea, but it's awesome that they're going to put a book out for those some of those people that may be interested in getting into comic books that like that stuff.
Yeah, the other one, and this last one I'm going to talk about, I absolutely loved the fact that it's a Francesco Francavilla cover, but the Master of Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I don't know, man, that one takes me back to when I was a kid, because, you know, those comics didn't make any sense back then. I don't think they're going to make any sense now, but...
Well, another one, this is also, we talked a couple of weeks back about that all-girl Avengers...
A-Force?
Yeah, and this is where it's then taking place. So it's a world in which, or a zone in which the Avengers became, you know, all-girls. So originally when I was thinking that it was a cash cow grab, that they're just picking these women, say they're Avengers, and, oh, hey, we got a women's book for you, to actually have a place where these people actually have a backstory, they've been this way... They may have even just been the only Avengers formed in this universe, is a little more interesting now. And I,
and in all of these worlds, Hope Summers doesn't exist in any of them.
Maybe this is her comeback.
Yeah. So, all right. I think that's going to do it for us for news. Tony, should we move on to
Indie Turnpike?
Indie Turnpike. All right. Indie Turnpike this week. Big Man Plans. Another number one, but this is a number one of four. Issue miniseries from Image Comics, and this was this is Eric Powell and Tim Weish both worked on the story. Eric Powell did all of the art in here, and this this book basically follows the character of Big Man, who. They don't ever give him a name really other than that. And he is a dwarf. He's a little person in here. And he's one of the angriest and most badass people you'll ever meet in your life. And actually, Tony, I'm
going to... One of the things, okay, just to throw this out there if you got the sense, when I saw the cover of this, there was one person that came to mind, and I was thinking Puck from Alpha Flight.
Yeah.
Anything like him? Besides the
stature?
Height stature, yeah.
He's a huge badass.
Okay.
So I guess in that sense, yeah. But the opening on this, and again, I'm sorry, I'm spoiling a lot this week, but this really does it great. You know, it opens in 1979 in Brooklyn, and he's sitting at the bar trying to have a drink, and these guys are just making fun of the fact that he's a midget. And so they're like, they're tell the bartender, ah, oh, you know what? Here, I'm gonna buy him a drink. And so he gets out a little clown mug for him, and you know, gives him chocolate milk because he's not gonna risk losing his license for serving a minor, kind of thing. And so he drinks it, puts the puts the cup down upside down on there, says, tips under the glass, and the guy's like, oh, cool, there's a 20 under there. He lifts it up, and there's a fucking grenade underneath it that as soon as he lifts it, it, you know, basically releases that. And then you also see him beating the shit out of a kid.
What?
Outside the, like, a kid that was riding a bike that was making fun of her for being, for going, ha, look at them little legs. And he's just beating the fuck out of a little kid. This is an insanely good book. Now, I should say, this is not for minors, this book, in case we happen to have any minors listening. But there's some things about the actual mechanics of the comic that I kind of wanted to get into as well. And the one is that the majority of the pages that you see are all done kind of it looks like it's printed on fiber paper, where it's not a white background. There's just one or two pages, and you can kind of see it actually shifts in the gutters from having that to a pure white down there on the bottom. It's just a really, really unique thing where, you know, they have the white gutters in the beginning, but the majority of it has this, and I think it's primarily during, it's basically the flashback scenes. The current stuff has the white, and as it transitions, you can see him going and reliving things from the past. But you see Big Man going to Vietnam as kind of a special operative, where they send them into those foxholes, you know, and the little rat tunnels mm-hmm. that the Viet Cong were notorious for digging, and he would just go down there. And I mean, it's like, it's cool because he had a Smith & Wesson Model 29 and as his main sidearm. And he talks about how it's basically a .44 Magnum that's bored out to hold 410 shotgun shells in a pistol, which means basically when the only way it's going to work is you're incredibly close quarters, like a couple feet away, but it would just tear somebody to pieces when you're that close.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking just a terrifying book. There is nudity in this book. So I do, you know, give a little bit of a heads up to that for people that might be offended by that sort of thing. And it is very violent. But if those things aren't going to keep you from enjoying what is an absolute amazing story, then please go pick up Big Man Plans number one. This one shocked me. I had no idea what it was about, but I'm like, ah, you know, cool. New Eric Powell book. I'll give it a shot. Man, was I happy I did, because this one is really, really fucking impressive. I'm a little disappointed it's only going to be a 4-issue miniseries, though. This is one where I'm assuming that there's a reason it's only 4 issues, but
they want to make it a short run.
Oh, damn it. Wow. I was waiting. I'm like, is Tony going to do it? Yep. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. So,
sorry.
All right. Well, that's it for Indie Turnpike. Tony, what do you got for booze in a book?
All right, booze in a book this week is I have a lot of beer that I'm going to be seeing what I compare it with for books that are coming out, because I had the fortunate chance to go to the West Michigan craft beer show, well, actually the Michigan Winter Craft Beer Show last weekend, and I drank a lot. And from there, I picked a lot of nerdy ones, a lot of things that I knew could pair with other books that I'm reading. And this week is Enigma from Tapestry Brewing, which is a double IPA. It is brewed with 5 different malts, 4 different hops, and a lot of brown sugar. Tastes very good. It hides alcohol, but it's 9% alcohol, which is one of the problems that I had at the Winterfest, was picking things that looked interesting and good tasting that were also strong as fuck. And this pairs perfectly with Transformers number 38, because we're talking about the Enigma combinations, which is one of the 12 relics of the original first Transformers, the first 13, which is stuck on Earth, which will give them combining powers so that they can form the giant big robots. And it's so been,
with their powers combined, they create Captain Planet 2?
Yes.
Okay.
And with this beer, a couple of these, you will be
seeing Captain Planet?
Yeah. So all in all, besides just the name, the book has been fucking great. This beer was great when I had it last weekend, and I think you should sit back and relax and drink some and read it. Yep. So Transformers number 38 and Enigma from Tapestry Brewing.
And all right. I was going to add something else, but I don't need to. last call. I had a shit ton, Tony. What do you got?
That I got to read this week? I don't know where the fuck I threw my books.
Okay.
Oh, Black Science came out, and Guardians Team Up, which they threw on because I read regular Guardians of the Galaxy, really was like not interested in reading a team up, but it was interesting. So it's going to be one of those books that I'll probably pick up every now, because I love Guardians of the Galaxy, just depending on who they team up with, that I might pick up. So,
A book that surprised myself that I picked up, I have to give a special shout out to. I always, you know, I've always appreciated Scotty Young's artwork, but I never really understood the whole I have to get every Scotty Young variant thing there is out there. This week I bought a book strictly because of the Scotty Young variant.
No, it's a book that you don't normally pick up?
Well, it's a book no one has normally picked up because it's a number one.
Oh.
But, yeah, Princess Leia. That fucking Scotty Young cover was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, all right, damn it. I don't even, like, I wasn't planning on buying the book, but I'm like, I'm going to get this because I just really loved that Princess Leia that he did on there. And it was a good book, but I'm recommending people buy it just for the cover. And then you decide on the rest for yourself. But Halogen number 1 of 4 from Arkea. Cluster number 2 from Boom Studios, Nameless number 2 from Image, The Woods number 11 from Boom. The book that had me laughing out loud this week, again, is God Hates Astronauts number 6 from Image, Ryan Brown. So, Tony, the one thing I want to point out to you is that this team of people, they're lords of the greatest planet of the Master System, and the Master System is Super Nintendo 64, and they managed to travel there to the power source by using the GAYME Game Genie. So
nice,
yeah. And in order to make it work, you have to blow on it. So,
jeez,
this book is just great. If you guys like really fun action and stupid humor, actually, it's not even stupid humor. It's actually smart humor. I don't know why I'm saying it's stupid humor, because like the star bears that are in here, one of them gets his ear shot off, and the little sound effect says he got Van Gogh'd. Because he lost his ear. you know, and one of them gets shot, and it severs his appendage just below the shoulder, and it says disarm.
Nice. That's my type of humor.
Yeah. This is, you know, just, I don't know. I fucking love this book. It's full of cuss words.
Something too. A little more serious note, G.I. Joe number 6, The Fall of G.I. Joe.
Now that sounds funny.
Yeah. Very, very back end espionage, spy stuff. So not anything like God Hates Astronauts, but.
That backdoor humor is really funny, though. Oh, wait, sorry. Saga number 26. Fucking awesome. So good. And the book that I can't quit giving enough credit to is Lady Killer, number 3. Came out this week. Jesus. I tell you what, Joelle Jones knows how to tell a story with her artwork. I don't know anybody else that's doing what she can do right now. So, yeah, go buy the damn book. You guys are missing out. Like, I mean, you're missing out on comic art form at its best if you're not reading this book. So, there you go.
Is that it for you? Because I don't have anything else.
That's it.
Yay. I don't know why I said yay.
But. I don't know either. So, all right, guys. Yeah. Oh. Make sure, because on Booze in a Book, you forgot, Tony, inkwhiskey.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Guys, go check out inkwhiskey.com. They have 10 different titles that you can order from. We will have some of the flasks available at Motor City. And hoping that we're going to get a chance to actually drink with these guys at C2E2 this year.
They're coming again?
I'm assuming.
Awesome.
But yeah, because I know somebody asked us about getting some of the flasks. So you can go to inkwhiskey.com, order them for yourself. I think they'll be at the show in at C2E2, and we will have some of the flasks available. I don't know how many, possibly somewhat limited, but we will have some at Motor City Comic Con. So there you go. Keep reading your comics. I can't talk.
We'll be back again next week to try to talk to you about them then.
Wow.
Just not now.
It's a fucking hard cider, man. It's a dad. Derek, stupid.
More like furkaderkader.
Oh, wait, what was it? A jiggy jar jar do.